Amen. Well, as we continue in the book of Hebrews, go ahead and turn to the chapter 4. We're going to finish up chapter 4 and go into chapter 5. When looking at this passage, if we were just to preach a sermon on this last little section of chapter 4, we would probably take the opportunity to really dive into some of the topics that are presented here. This morning, we're going to do something just a little bit different, and I will tell you why in a moment, but let's read the words of the Lord here. I'm going to pick up a couple of verses that we covered last week, and I'm going to go all the way to verse 10 of chapter 5. So let's read the word of the Lord. Start in verse 12 of chapter 4. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. He can deal gently with the ignorant and the wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice of his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also, Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obeyed him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Lord, this morning as we look to your word, may it be new and afresh to us. May what you have for us this morning show us more about who you are and how you have offered your salvation to us. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. So this morning, this is the second time in Hebrews that Jesus being our high priest has been mentioned. The first time was in chapter 2, and then we get to Jesus, the great high priest, here at the end of chapter 4. We could take the opportunity to really expose the text here, and who Jesus as high priest, what that means. We could take the opportunity to dive into what it means to be in the order of Melchizedek. If we were just singling out this passage, we would take that opportunity because it is a truth in Scripture that needs to be illuminated. But if you'll look over another page in the book of Hebrews to chapter 7 and chapter 8, the author of Hebrews takes the opportunity himself to dive deep into what it means to be after the order of Melchizedek in chapter 7, and then Jesus as our high priest in chapter 8. So if he's going to take the opportunity to do that, so what is he trying to get at here? And I think we get a picture in the very beginning words of verse 14. It says, "Since then." Now, our brother John when he gets up here and he says, therefore. What's it therefore? These are just other words that are like that. It's a transition word in which it is pointing back to something that had happened or was said previously. So since then, since what I have said is true, since then, so we'll go back to what was said previously. And if we look at what was said last week, we talked about rest. And it said, let us therefore. Well, if that is there for a reason, and if we're supposed to look backwards from that as well, we'll have to back up even further to get the picture. And so we'll back up to verse 6 of chapter 4. And since therefore, well, we are going backwards yet again. And verse 1 of chapter 4 begins with therefore. And so we will back up yet again to chapter 3. And in the middle of that, in verse 7, therefore. Verse 1 of chapter 3, therefore. Verse 14 of chapter 2, since therefore. Chapter 2, verse 8, in the middle of verse 8, now putting on in subject. Now that all of this other has happened, we're putting this on. And so we're even going further than that. And verse 1 of chapter 2 says, therefore, referring back to all of chapter 1. All right. So John has preached three and a half chapters of Hebrews, and it has led to today. So let's remember what has happened, because the author of Hebrews here is not, at this particular point in his letter, he's not pointing about what Christ is yet. He's not getting to the high priest and us fleshing out what the high priest is. He is still talking about who Christ is, not the what yet. He is still talking about who Christ is. And how did this letter of Hebrews start? Do you remember? Long time ago, in many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. We have a picture of Jesus as the prophet. In verse 1, Jesus has come with a message from God. And not only has He come with a prophetic message, but He is the message. And we talk about Jesus as the Word. He is the Word. And Jesus has come not with just a message, but He has come Himself as the message. He is the good news. He is the gospel. And that is where it starts when he says, since then we have a great high priest. He is referring back to all of it. And he is pointing us back all the way to the beginning where we say he is our prophet. He has a message from God. He is the message. He is the good news. He is the word of God. And then he, because of that, we will flow through these few chapters and we get, he is better than angels. Don't forget it. Because he's better than angels, don't forget. He's more than Moses. He is greater than Moses. Because he is greater than Moses, let us be able to rest in him. Moving all the way through rest to last week, let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one will fall by the same sort of disobedience. So we have Christ, our prophet, who has come with a message of salvation. He has come as the good news. He has come as the one who is proclaiming the Father. He has come as Christ, Messiah. He is our message. And then last week, we saw because the Word, who is Christ, is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, pierced to the division of the soul, spirit, joints, marrow, discerning thoughts and intentions of the heart. Because of that, because of Christ, we lay at the feet of God exposed. Amen. No creature is hidden from this sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. So we all stand before God exposed in our sin. We all have sin. We are all blemished. We can't clean it up. We can't put it back in. As John alluded to last week, this word exposed is a cutting open. We can't get it back in. We can't do enough to clean it up. And so we have Christ that has brought this message, and we understand that we can't clean it up. We can't do enough to make ourselves pure and holy. What do we need? Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. It is Christ, the one who has brought the message from God, who is the message from God. He is also our high priest. And we could take the opportunity to go through and discover what it means to be a high priest. But I don't want us to miss the fact this morning that we are not talking about what. We are talking still about who. And it is still about Christ. We will get to what Christ is, but this morning it is about who. And it is the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize. There's a lot of times that we acknowledge what Christ has done for us. Okay, Christ came out of heaven, came into an imperfect world, had to live amongst us, had to rub elbows, he had to understand what work was and getting his feet dirty, and he had to understand how relationships work, and he even felt the tinge of death. He felt all of that for us, but a lot of times we get to the place and we say, but he was God, so he really doesn't understand. He doesn't understand my battle with sin. He doesn't understand my battle in relationships. He doesn't understand my battle with whatever is going on in life. He was God. And so he can't feel that. Scripture here shows a different Christ. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. Christ in his life, he didn't have to deal with an iPhone in his hand. He didn't have to, you know, deal with some specifics in my life because I live in this day and age. But my God, who has come for my salvation, is sympathetic to my weaknesses. He understands the struggles in which you and I deal with. He understands what's going on in life. Hebrews started out with showing that Jesus was better than angels. There was this idea that Jesus was bringing a message like an angel. So he was dispelling that Jesus is more than an angel. Was put above the angels. So much so, he is the one who created the angels. But we, if Jesus were an angel, he couldn't have been our high priest. If Jesus had just been merely an angel, he couldn't be our high priest. We had to have one who was set aside by God, who understood our plight, who understood that we were exposed before God Almighty. The prophet, as Christ, brought this message, and as priest, he is making a sacrifice on behalf of man. It is, prophet is coming from God to man, priest is coming from man to God. Christ as our priest is going before God on our behalf. Because we have confessed Christ, because of the fact that he is sympathetic and he has come out of all of these temptations, in the words of verse 14, without sin, because of this, we can draw near. We can come with confidence to the throne of grace. John, last week, we decided that I would be preaching this morning, and we said, okay, well, we've kind of wrapped up rest, and we're moving to a different section of Scripture. That ain't true. Good southern word there. That ain't true. Because it's still about this rest, because we can be confident. We can rest in Christ because of who he is. Because he is not only our prophet, but he is our priest. He is the one that is taking the sacrifice of our sins. And though we could not offer anything, we stood exposed and sinful in front of God, he did it for us. He took our place. Every high priest was chosen among men and appointed on behalf of men in relation to God. He is to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. That is what a high priest would do. So a high priest, and we will definitely uncover this in a few weeks, but a high priest was one who, on the Day of Atonement, would have to go into the Holy of Holies and offer up the sacrifice for the atonement of sin for the people, not only the people, but for himself. And that's the picture that we see in Scripture of Christ going before God on our behalf and offering up a sacrifice. Before the sacrifice, God points something out. In verse 5 of chapter 5. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As it is said in another place, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." This section of Scripture is honing in on who Christ was. It is a revelation that not only is Jesus better than angels, better than Moses, but the Son of God. And what that turns to is, not only is he is not a created being of God, he is God. He is of God. He is not just merely a second lower person of humanity or creation, but he is God. God himself has come with a message. God himself has come with a sacrifice that only he could give. We stood in front of him without hope, without the ability to do anything, and he sent himself to make that way. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears, who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Again, our God, who has come, who has offered up the sacrifice, is a priest forever, and even though he was a son, he had to suffer. Even though he was God, he suffered. And because of that suffering, because of the sacrifice that we have, it says, you are a priest forever. The sacrifice in which Christ has made is once for all, and we don't need to sacrifice Christ again. It's not as if the atoning work of God needs to happen all the time, because Christ has done it. It is finished. So, Christian, believer, those that confess, why do we think we need to do more better? Why in the world would we think that we're working for favor in God? Why do we think that others need to do the same? Why do we put their sin on a different scale than ours? Why do we compare us and them? Why do we do a lot of things? Christ has done the work, and is not because of me and you, because me and you are cut wide open, exposed. If I'm sitting exposed and somebody else pays the debt for me, it is not for me to cast a stone on somebody else. I am casting everything on Christ, the one who saved me. And it gets to the heart in verse 9. All of the book has been leading to this. Verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obeyed him. See, Christ did not merely offer a sacrifice, he offered himself as the sacrifice. This is not, he came as, with a message from God. He was the message. He was the Word. And as priest, he is offering not a bull, not anything else. He is not offering up people. He is not offering anything else. He offered himself as the sacrifice. And that is the truth in which none of us can get away from. Because he was designated by God as our high priest. Christ forever will be the high priest for his people. Christ forever will be the one who has atoned for our sins. He is not unsympathetic. He knows the struggles that you and I have. He knows what you and I have gone through. He knows the temptations in which we had, and he knows that we would look to things around us and He knows that we would look to people. And so we have in Scripture that he is greater than Moses, so that we understand that even Moses was less. We have this idea that maybe we have to look to nature. But even Christ is above angels. Even heavenly beings, he is above that. He understands that we will have issues and we will have thoughts in our head and we will disobey. He understands that we will not always fall in line. Yet he still made sacrifice for us. Yet he still went to the cross and gave up his body. He still came to earth with the message of salvation. He still came knowing that, having seen, not knowing what will happen, he had already seen it. He had seen all of us exposed, everything that we would have done, and yet he gave himself up. And this morning, this text, I didn't want to come to this and get bogged down in the what. I wanted us to make sure that we still see the who. It's a simple message for those that know him. For those that have come to faith, it's simple. Christ is our prophet and he is our priest and our king. He has brought the word and he has made sacrifice for us. But this is profound. It is simple, yet it is what our faith relies on. It is resting on the shoulders of Christ and him crucified. It has been given to us by him who sent Christ. Yes, this message is simple. Yes, it is something that I hope you have heard many times over, and I hope that you will hear many times again, because we all forget, we all look away, and our God is not unsympathetic. May he always be the priest forever. For those that have not come to faith, the struggle continues. For those that have faith, we can rest in the work of Christ. We can rest in the fact that Jesus has come and made this sacrifice. But for those that have not come to faith, they still lay exposed before God, who will judge them. And they can't clean it up. Christian, that gives us reason to love those around us enough to tell them the truth of Christ. It gives us reason to share about who Christ is and what he has done. For those that don't have faith, I beg you this morning to look to Christ, to rest in his finished work, to look at what Christ has done and the fact that he has come to earth for the salvation of people, not for the salvation of angels, not for the salvation of things of this world, but for the salvation of human beings that stand before God in need. That's it. That's the simple message of this passage. May the Lord continue in us what he has started from the very beginning, and that is his salvation. May we not look back from our confession. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you that we can look at what you have done and we can bask in your amazing grace. That we can come with confidence for those that have faith. We can trust in the Lord and rest in this finished work, in the sacrifice in which Christ has given. Father, this morning, may you just continually bring that to our hearts and our minds. May you use our lives in a way that others can see the evidence of that grace in our lives. And may you, for those that do not have faith here this morning, may you work in their life in a way that you are drawing them to yourself. Father, I pray that you save those that don't have faith this morning. That's what I'm asking, Father. May they be able to rest in you this morning. It's in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.